Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Thy promise. How y'all feeling? Well, I'm about to try and keep it real up here, if that's all right with y'all. I'm not a fancy preacher. I don't know how to use those $10 words, and I just know how to tell it straight out. We were talking earlier, looking at the book of Romans, and you know the last verse of chapter 6 in Romans says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Now right there, simple as that is, I think we can easily miss the main point. When you work, you deserve those wages. Whatever you do on your job, you got that coming to you. That paycheck is not a gift. They don't give that to you just because they like you. They got to give it to you. You earned it. You did it. You got it. This is you. Whatever you put out, you expect to get that back. That's how the world works. That's business. That's life. What God is saying in this verse is, if we take a look at what should be written on your paycheck for what you deserve for your sin is death. Then he says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Gift. That word is, I want to, you know, write that down and underline it. Gift. Gift is not something you earn. You didn't deserve it. No one gave it to you because they thought you should have it or that you were worthy of it or anything. Just because. People who love you give you a gift just to give you a gift. You didn't do anything for it. If you want to know what it takes to be saved, like the question in our topic for tonight, it's like a gift that's underneath the Christmas tree. Got your name on it. It's for you. It's yours in every sense. But you won't have that applied to your life till you take it under the tree and you claim it for your own. You open it up and you take use of that. And that's the offer of salvation, is a gift. Now you're going to hear a lot of overlap in what we're all saying because it's the same truth. It's very simple, but sometimes it's just hard for our minds to get around it. The idea is, because of his love, he gave you this free gift, and you cannot earn it. Can't earn your way to heaven. Cannot be done. Nothing that you do from the moment you saved forward will be so impressive that God will say, well, glad I saved him because he made himself practically perfect there after that. Now, if that sounds stupid when I say it out loud, don't play these guilt games in your head just because you saved and you're still sinning. Because I'm looking at a room full of sinners in here. I get a good eyeball in every one of y'all. You know what I mean? The prideful ones that think they are. And the ones that are humble enough to know they are. Okay? Sinners. You saved, but still sinning. See, there was a question in there about backsliding. What happens when I backslide? And I asked this question, what is a backslide? Because I think sometimes we get confused in our minds with the use of that word, backslide. What I think it means is when I go back to an old pattern of behavior, an old sin that I've done before. And I want to avoid that. That's very important to me. I you know, because I'm going to make a certain amount of mistakes in my life, and I have to try and learn from that on the first try. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Some mistakes I can't afford to make twice. Some of them I need to be smart enough not to make twice. You know, once Jane was leaving the house for the weekend and leaving me at home, and I'm going to be by myself just sitting on the couch for a holiday weekend, and I found a bag of chips at the grocery store, and the chip said that it was a diet, super new diet kind of chip, but it may cause severe diarrhea. In fact, I think the actual word, I don't know if you can say this in church, but was anal leakage. Now, most people were turned away by that. But I thought I got the weekend to myself, and I got no other plans. Give it a try. But I learned off of that. See, I learned something. You don't experiment like that. Don't get creative with you. Find other things to entertain yourself with. I learned the first time. That's what backslide is about, is learning the first time. They don't go back to that. But I think when most people use that word backslide, they're thinking, I had some status and I had some wonderfulness going, and I somehow lost that status due to too much sin, and I went back to another status. There's no variation in there. There's not saved, and there's saved. That's two states you could be in, one status or the other. I hope the rest of my life I have less and less sin as I go forward. But I can't get any more saved. I'm already there. If I do anything to get sin out of my life, it's because I want to please my God and I love Him. I want to do that so I can get closer to Him. I want to do that because the consequences can be really hell to pay, you know. So, you know, that's why I'm doing that, out of love. But I can't get any more saved, and I can't get any less saved because I backslide. That's hard for some people to get their minds around. They think, well, you know, I gotta keep earning it. I gotta keep hustling to get God's attention, get Him to be liking on me. I gotta keep going to church. I gotta keep going reading my Bible and all that, because I gotta keep this thing going. You are not gonna keep this thing going through your good deeds. You don't have enough to impress anybody. Hey, I love you, brothers, but I'm not impressed. That's not how that happened. You know what I mean. Now, I know y'all, some of y'all think you fooled me. Like, praise the Lord, brother, hallelujah, whatever. Okay, right. I've been there. I've done that. I've been where you've been, number one, and I've been doing this line of work for a long, long time. I'm not fooled. I know a brother that's just coming up the rough side of the mountain, and believe me, I have respect for that. I have a ton of respect for, you know, somebody who's putting all their mental energy into coming up out of all this sin and doing everything they can to get closer to the Lord. That impresses me a lot. But understand, I got no illusions about how much sin is in y'all's lives. You're not fooling me. And of course you're not fooling God. We all know this. We know He sees exactly what's wrong with you. You know, stuff that you would never see in yourself. And you know what's funny? When I got saved, I fixed all the obvious things, or I should say God fixed it in me. But you know what I found when I did that? I found a whole nother layer of awfulness underneath that, because these ones are so big, you know, they blocked out everything else, you know. And you move that out of the way, and oh my goodness, I'm still half a knucklehead. And I didn't even know, you know, and I get rid of that, and you know what, I find something else, and something else, and something else. See, it's only somebody fresh, new, saved, going to church with their Bible tucked under their arm, they think they're almost there. Brother like me who's been working on it this long knows I'm never going to get there. If being perfect is what I have to do before I die, I got no hope. I think other people get it in their minds that it's all about confession. If I confess, then I'm straight, and then I just gotta, if I die right then, I'll be okay. But if I got one sin on my, what? No. See, when we have to talk about a state of sin that our lives are in certain areas. Now, not everything we're doing wrong, but We have to recognize that. You can't understand salvation unless you understand that it's a relationship. And Jesus says this over and over and over again. Paul talks about it in the New Testament. It's a relationship. He says, you know, when you become saved, you are my son. You are my child. Okay? If I have a child, that child can act however, but it's still my child. I might be disappointed. I might hurt for the knuckleheaded things that this child does, but that's still my child. That never changes. That never goes away. That child did not earn it, didn't do something to make it go. I brought the child into the world. He didn't even have a vote on that. When God reached down and chose to save you, when he chose to give you that gift, he made the decision whether you were going to be saved or not. You made the decision whether you were going to accept it or not. But there's nothing that any of us does to make it work. As both of these brothers were saying before, it's God being righteous through us that we see when we see changes in our lives. If we're trying to put on some kind of a front to impress or to please God, we're getting the whole thing confused. Last thing I wanted to mention before we bring this last brother up is there was a question in the topic about does God turn us away because we get to a point of sinning too much or breaking too many promises to him or to ourselves? And again, I think that question ignores what is to me an obvious reality. Which is, what is it that you've done in the past 2 or 3 weeks or 4 or 5 years, or what is it you think you might do in the future that God doesn't know about now? From now to the time that you croak, what is it you think you might do that God doesn't know about right now? When he chose to save you, when you said, I got nothing to offer, I got nothing to say for myself, I just want it. When you prayed that prayer, take me if you'll have me. Do you think that God had no idea how much sin might happen after that? I mean, I say this a lot, but if it sounds stupid when I say it out loud, why does that get in our minds then? He knew exactly how much mess-ups, stumbles, fumbles, backslides, forward slides, in-between slides, you know, being puffed up on your own self-righteousness, how much you're going to fool yourself, how much you're going to front off to other people, how much you're going to be hypocritical, how much you're going to get a clue when you hit rock bottom and got back on it, and whatever else. He knew all that. If he didn't save you then, you know, because of that, that would have been, you know, we would have understood that was the way he felt about it. But if he chose to accept you in that moment, he knows it all. And that's a tremendous comfort to me. Because it must be a love beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension, as this brother said, a reckless grace. Just crazy. And you know what, brothers? I know that this is true for you, and I know that many of you have received this, because I'm not saying this just to make you feel good at all, but when I'm up here and I'm speaking, I look you guys in the eye. I feel that love, and I know these other pastors do as well, and Mike does as well. I feel that love coming through me for you. Not because of anything that you've done, not because of anything you might do, just because for some reason, he says, man, this brother, I just love him. That's why we're saved, and that's how we get it. Amen? Amen.